bowed our heads and closed our eyes, you will have prayed. Number two. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are happy this morning. We can be gathered together in your presence another time.
Amen.
Lord, knowing you have designated this time and season for us,
yes,
that we could come together and have the spiritual feast.
Amen.
Lord, we look unto you that you would break the bread of life unto us. And Lord, you would make yourself known in the breaking of the bread. I pray this morning, Father, that the Holy Spirit would anoint every heart, anoint every individual that is here.
Amen.
Anoint me to speak of your word.
Lord.
Anoint my brother, Lord, who stands to interpret the word.
Amen.
Father, may you take such full control.
Amen.
Over every one of us.
Hallelujah.
Lord. And Lord, you can have the preeminence in the service.
Amen.
And you can be the principal team of the service.
Amen.
And Lord, your word can go deep down into the needy places.
Amen.
Of our hearts and our lives. We can be nourished and strengthened in the inner man.
Amen.
And be built up in the most holy faith,
yes,
of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That we can become the oracle of God.
Hallelujah.
To stand in this hour.
Amen.
Upon the face of this earth.
Yes.
Bless each and every one, Father, and grant us rest.
Amen.
And strength as we wait before thee. In thy precious name we pray. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles. 2 Kings chapter 6. We greet everyone this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We trust that you rested well in your bodies last night. You wake up and you had your prayer meeting. You wake up and had prayer meeting. And we come prepared to receive from him now. We're
going to
begin reading from verse 8. 2 Kings chapter
6.
Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to a place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was very troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel. Tell the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he their horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he said, fear not. For they who are with us are more than they who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, a mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. You notice the enemy came with horses and chariots and got to meet the challenge, come with horses and chariots also. Amen.
Amen.
When they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite these people, I pray thee with blindness.
Zino wakati wajiburukira kware, ilichanga nyengetila kuna Jehovah wakati. Dolo wayewanu, awanu upo.
God is opening one eyes and smiting the other with blindness.
Jehovah isara mwema, zito wa mwajirwanu upo.
And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha.
Jehovah kawarwanu upo, usesakanga sware kwa na Elisha.
And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me and I will bring you unto the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria.
And
it came to pass that when they were come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the center of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?
And
he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading from verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, work it for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not to the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Do you feel that call to go to your theophany? That's what he's speaking about. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that had wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also had given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. May God as blessing the reverence with him. Have a seat. I want to greet you again.
And
see our brother in the back. Brother Emmanuel Millet.
We're
glad to have him with us here this morning.
Amen.
And yesterday, Brother Leon was telling me he might be here.
And
when I was coming to service this morning, he just came upon my mind. And I thought I might see him. When I came into the building, there he was in the back. So we are happy to have him with us. We met him last year in South Africa. It was a real blessing for us to hear of the great exploits that God has done through him in taking the message to many remote places in Africa. Amen. You have some great testimonies.
That
will be a blessing to all. And we are really happy to be here. And last night, I think it was a very remarkable thing. We started service sometime after 10. And finished after 12. And then here you are back this morning again. It's really a great encouragement. In this hour, when there's a great cooling off, in the hearts of many, yet there's a real bride pressing with all that's within her. She knows she's on the verge of the promise. And this morning, I want to speak associates with the unseen world and the supernatural. Brother Branham speaking.
Brother Branham is Taura.
And a message on Revelation book of symbols. He was speaking about a man who is full of the Holy Ghost. On page 10. He said angelic beings associate together. Heavenly angels and earthly angels, they associate together. If you are an earthly angel, an angel of the resurrection, our witness with a true testimony that you have seen the Lord, don't you know you are called to be a witness? You are living in the Sunday when the angel came down and rolled the stone back, pulled the seal back, and the cold, stiff, dead body that was sealed up in the tomb, the nominational tombs, have been shaken back to life. The quickening power was released under the Easter seal. And there's a great mystery. It was the rising of the sun. Amen. The body of Jesus Christ. They were dead for 3 days. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. It came back to life when the Holy Spirit dropped down and shake that body back to life. Then you are a witness of the resurrection. You have seen the Lord. He's alive. He is not dead. You are an angel, a messenger in this hour. Blessed be his name. And that heavenly angel, the Holy Spirit, Revelation 10:1. It's come to Revelation 10:8, 11. That same Revelation 10:1. At one time, for part of his great ministry, he was veiled in Revelation 10:7. Revelation 10:7 was a prophet. We call him Brother Branham, with the spirit of Elijah. And that mighty angel, Jesus Christ, was veiled inside of him. Then when God removed that skin veil, 1965, he hung it up in the hall of memory, in a tomb. They put it there. But the great actor, Gordon Murphy, was changing masks. Hallelujah! For about 20 years, from 1965 to 1985, it seemed like a silence. Nothing was happening. What was taking place? What was the mystery? The actor was behind stage. He was changing masks. Hallelujah! He was getting ready for the final act. Now the curtains are being drawn, and the actor is on stage again for the second fold of the seventh seal, for the final act. It is Jesus Christ again. Christ is the mystery of God revealed inside of you. Jesus in bright form, walking again among his own people. Hallelujah! Oh, what are we looking for? Not nail scars, not oil and blood. We are looking for him in the fulfillment of his word.
Christ is revealed in his own word. Hallelujah. Many people have the wrong conception of what they are looking for. Amen. And the prophet says, if you don't have the right conception of what you are looking for, you can get a pumpkin and think of a watermelon. God is identified by his own characteristics. Hallelujah. To recognize the presence of God, you must know something about him, about his nature, how he works, how he acts, what he does, what he promised for this very hour. Amen. So angelic beings associate together. I think it's a wonderful thing. The angel of God is in camp around the boat this morning. They brought you and put you in your seat. They wake you up this morning when it's kind of tired. Give you some strength to shake the sleep off, to get the prayer meeting, to go to the shower, to go to the get your breakfast, bring in the house of God, anoint you to consecrate yourself. You couldn't see them with your physical eye, but that those angels have been given charge over you to keep you in the way. Hallelujah! Because God have gathered you here. Last night, we saw the devil with his fallen angels trying to spoil a good time for us. He tried to fight us, trying to bring all kind of bad weather, caused many cars to stick all out in the roads, caused many to malfunction. We even mistaken the service. Just the enemy trying to upset everything. But everything is under control. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit is standing here with a drawn sword. Amen. He's determined that you are going to receive your blessing. He wants to give it to you more than you want it. Amen. Don't let nothing negative come in your mind. Don't get no inferiority complex. God has brought you here to bless you. God has brought you here to give you the Holy Ghost. God has brought you here to deliver you. God has brought you in the backside of the desert to deal with you in a special way. Because something is fixing to happen. And you are part of it. You are part of God's mystery. And the Holy Spirit, who cares for you, you care to believe his message. You care to believe his prophet. You care to act upon it. Then he cares. Because you care. Hallelujah. So Revelation Book of Symbols, page 10, the angelic beings associate together. You say, oh, I hope you get that. That just drop down right free. He says, look, if you got the Holy Spirit in you, then you are a candidate for association with the unseen world and the supernatural. You are a candidate. If you have the Holy Ghost, God made you a candidate for association with the Holy Ghost, with the supernatural, with angelic beings. Hallelujah! Because God put you here on the earth. He ordained you for a purpose. From the time you were born, there's an angel at your side to keep you in the way, to watch over you. Many a time, the devil tried to kill you, but God was protecting his gift. God's gift have to find all the places. You had a place predestinated in the body of Christ. For this age, there was a word for that part of the body to manifest and reveal God's plan of redemption, to show he is not guilty of a breach of promise, that God said it. He made a promise. He have kept his word. He is fulfilling it through you. You recognize it. It makes you happy to know you are part of him. You are in him and he inside of you.
Amen.
So if you got the Holy Ghost, you are a candidate for association with the unseen world and the supernatural.
So then if we are Holy Ghost filled people, then I'm speaking this morning to associate with the unseen world and the supernatural. Because we are here at this hour. We're looking for the ministry of the third power. Why are we looking for it? Because it was promised. Because it was the scriptures. Because it was thus said the Lord. Because by and through that ministry, God will show that all that was lost back in the Garden of Eden have been restored back. That the opening of the seven seals, the abstract title deed to redemption, it brought back unto us every redemptive blessing. And when it's manifested, we see the real purpose of Calvary. We are his victory. We are the reason of his death. Why did God put Adam to sleep back in the Garden of Eden? When God in a type was showing Calvary, what was the purpose for it? To take a bride out. Bone is bone, flesh is flesh, so that the Father could take a bride without spot and wrinkle, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, life of his life, works of his works, spirit of his spirit, faith of his faith, virtue of his virtue, and said, this is her. Amen. Glory be to God. That's what was promised. So if that was promised, God showed it in a type, then there is to be a bride. It's the rising of the sun. The prophet says, page 17, he says we have had churches. We have had churches, brides. But there's got to come a real bride. There's got to come a real bride. And he saw that real bride in a vision. She was just like the first bride. She was marching onward, Christian soldiers. And that bride in the vision was a scriptural bride. Because all the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, had shadows and types showing the mystery of that bride the prophet saw in the vision. And here's to the prophet, a one-man scripture, Revelation 10:7, Malachi 4:5. That was the prophet. Here was Miss USA Church, the Pentecostals, Revelation 3, 14 to 22, the Laodiceans, 2 Timothy 3, there was a witch dancing to rock and roll music. So the Pentecostals went forth. Then here's the prophet, Malachi 4:5, Revelation 10:7, at the end of the Pentecostal age. And then behind him was coming a real bride. Hallelujah! One just like the first bride. Hallelujah. Revelation 10:8-11. Malachi 4:6. The real bride. The children whose hearts are turned back to the faith of the fathers. Hallelujah. And he said, if that all the visions I ever saw, amen, was true. What there was true. They came to pass. And that vision is true just like the others. If that vision is wrong, then all the rest was wrong before. But we know that vision is true, because here we are, you in Zimbabwe, we in Trinidad, amen. What is happening? We are part of that brand that is showing the vision, testifying, it's true. We are coming after the prophet, hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Amen.
She is his victory. She is the reason of his death. And here we are, in an hour, when that was manifested. The body was dead, but when the life is in the body, when we see signs of life being identified by the scripture, the word for the hour, that shows it is God's own life being manifested. That life in the body is a sign. What sign? That the resurrection is at hand. If the body was dead and life come back in the body, then the body would have some movement. Then the body would be doing something to show it's not dead, but the life has come back in the Sunday. The body of Jesus in a type was dead. It was shut up in the tomb. But when did the life come back into it? Not Friday night, not Saturday, Sunday morning. At the rising of the sun, the quickening power. When did it happen? When the mighty angel came down, pulled the Roman seal back, brought the word back into manifestation. Hallelujah. So we are here at this hour when the third pole must come into operation. The prophet says, 1963, December the 29th. Look away to Jesus on page 6 and 7. So when the world comes to begin to tighten up, watch the third pole then. Amen. 22 years ago, he said, watch the third pole then. 22 years after, watch the third pole now. Hallelujah. Because here we are. The World Council of Churches is gathered together. What for? To be formed into the image. Not the word image, into the image of the beast. But the bride have been gathered together. What for? To be formed in the image of the word. And when the image of the word is formed in the bride, and the World Council of Churches is forming the image of the beast, then the image of the beast comes against the image of the word, and the image of the beast will exercise the authority of the dragon. The lamb will speak like a dragon. But what the bride, who is forming the image of the word, Jehovah's masterpiece in the word image, she will speak with the voice of the archangel. She will exercise the authority of the word of Jesus Christ. It will be a Mount Zion showdown. And here we are in this hour, a revelation being made plain, showing that the bride is formed in the image of the word. And we know it is true because it is being made plain by the scriptures. And we can look at the World Council of Churches and see that they are formed in the image of the beast. So we realize we are in the climax. The tears are ripe. And we can hear the coming of the combine. Hallelujah. So we are here. The hour has come when the third pole must come into operation. What the third pole now? There shall be a performance of those things told you from the Lord. Blessed is she that believes this morning. Hallelujah. There shall be a performance of those things. What did the Lord tell you? You shall have a ministry of the masterpiece. What did the Lord tell you? There shall be a return of dynamic power. What did the Lord tell you? This bride will write another book of Acts. What did the Lord tell you? When the squeeze comes, watch the third pole then. Then there shall be a performance of those things told you from the Lord. In Luke 1, you had an angelic visitation. The angel Gabriel, man sent from God. That is what Gabriel means. Gabriel is man sent from God. There was a man sent from God. Brought a message. What was Gabriel's message? Messiah must be made manifest in the virgin. Hallelujah. She will bring forth God in flesh. Amen. The angel brought a message, a prophetic promise. And after the angel left, Mary could identify in the scripture that she was the virgin, the predestined one who God was talking about when he spoke to the prophet Isaiah, saying a virgin shall conceive. Then what happened? She had a supernatural manifestation. The Holy Ghost overshadowed her. What took place? A mystery in her own life began to unfold. For 9 months, Christ was being formed in Mary. The word was being formed in Mary. And at that time, the constellation was coming together. And on the earth, in the political realm, laws were being passed. Amen. Bringing that tightening up. And when she was great with child, she had to be moved into the provided place. Hallelujah. Where a few days was to be accomplished that she should be delivered. That is very scriptural. Noah had to move into that place in the ark, and wait for a few days to be accomplished before the dynamics came. In Acts 2, the saints of God had to move into the upper room and wait a few days that might be accomplished before the Holy Ghost came. Mary had to move in the provided place for a few days to be accomplished before she brought forth the manifestation of what the angel said she would bring forth, that she was the continuation of the mystery after the angel going off the scene, after he delivered his message and went off the scene. Mary was the continuation of the mystery. She could tell from the conception to the birth. Mary understood how the mystery of Christ was being formed inside of her. And she knew what she was going to bring forth. And she knew when her pain started, when her labor started. She had weeping and wailing and lamenting and anguish. But then she had joy. A man child was born into the earth.
Amen.
Amen. So there shall be a performance of those things told us from the Lord. Watch the third pull now. We are here at this hour when something is fixed to happen. But there are many who cannot seem to be lifted into the power of God. Still groping around. They see the prophet. They know he was the prophet. They saw the experiences. They could tell the experiences. But the supernatural realm, the unseen world that the prophet was in contact with, that caused him to master every circumstance. The hour had to come when the prophet had to open the boy's eyes that he could see what the prophet saw, that he could behave how the prophet behaved, that he could have control over every situation the way the prophet had control over every situation. It's not just knowing the prophet. It's not just knowing his life story. It's not just knowing all the acts he did. It's not just being associated with him. It's living in the realm that the prophet lived in. He was associated with the unseen world and with the supernatural. He and the Holy Ghost, that earthly angel, had association with the heavenly angel. And now the bride, the spirit and the bride, is saying, come also. She has to have association with that angel, the Holy Ghost, who is leading her and guiding her and giving her dominion and victory and making her possess every gate the way the prophet possess every gate. Conquer every foe. Master every circumstance. She's having the same thing. Because it is the same life of the Holy Ghost. The Word made flesh in the prophet. And now must be flesh in the bride.
Amen.
So all those, the sick, poor, suffering ones, the sick, poor, suffering ones, who couldn't get a hold of faith these last 20 years, the Holy Ghost has come to lift you into a faith that you have never known, to rub the make-believe out, that the church, his bride, his body, can be lifted in the power of God, that they can grasp that key to unlock that door that goes into the unseen world, that they can have that super sense and become that super sign. What is the super sign? Emmanuel, the Word made flesh, God with us. Hallelujah! Super sign! God and man being united. Invisible union. Hallelujah. The head and the body on the earth. Dynamics and mechanics working again. Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory.
This is the hour. And we see many can be lifted into the power of God. Campground stars. Campground like here. Campground.
Amen. Say pan batida.
They are campground stars. Oh, they rejoice and have a good time. While the manna is falling. Everybody's eating and having a wonderful time. But when they go out the door and the devils attack them, when he attacks them in the home, before they shoot them devils off, before when the devil comes saying, if thou be the bride, before he get a blast of 10,000 volts and singes feathers, what happens? You find them all in a corner, and the devil walking all over them, and they're all frustrated and depressed and gloomy. And then the pastor have to wind them up again, chain them up, and then they get happy again until a trial comes along. But God, he said, wait until those seven thunders utter its voices to that little group who can take the word and hand it the air. They'll shut the heavens, create billions of flies. When the church comes to know who she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, Satan will be powerless. She will have power to bang that mamba in a nut. Hallelujah! Glory be to God.
Amen.
That mamba want to run through the church, cause confusion. That pastor anointed and them four living creatures anointing him. He stand there knowing he has more authority before God than an angel in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. He stands there and he binds that serpent in a knot. He spoils the works of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Didn't Paul say that? He said, very soon you will bruise Satan under your feet. Amen. You destroy the works of the devil. Prophecy, when you come to know who you are, so there had to be a revelation. Take away our spiritual amnesia. Amen. So you not walk around all complexed, not knowing who we are, hoping something happened, hoping this and hoping that, wondering this and wondering that. You ain't no wandering star. You're setting your course. You shall not be moved. Lucifer tail cannot pull you down. Hallelujah. You will not become no fallen star. You'll stand here in the ministry of the morning star, reflecting the light from the throne. Hallelujah. You walk like a son of God, like a king's son. You ain't no, your body might be in slavery, but your spirit is free. Hallelujah! When the supreme judge took the book and he found your name in the Lamb section, you never did it in the first place. Who the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You're not just in the framework of the message. You're not just in some congregation. You're not just in Zimbabwe. You're in Christ Jesus. You'll be made free. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Who can lay the charge against God elect? The accuser is cast down. Hallelujah. Because now has come salvation. And the kingdom of our God, and the power of our Christ, and the accuser of the brethren is cast down. The accuser who is to be in your heart and my heart, accusing one another, is cast down. Because perfect love is here, a revelation of brotherly kindness. When you stand praying, if you know your brother have aught against you, leave your gift at the altar. Not if you have something against your brother. If you know your brother have something against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go and find him. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Amen. Then we'll see a super church. Then we'll see super sign. Then we'll see greater works. What does these miracles? In loving his bride, riding the trail again, will produce these things. Amen. So we are right here that hour. Last night we were preaching. We're showing Jesus passing this way, coming down to the last part of his ministry. First pole was finished. Second pole was finished. He was changing ministries. He was going to pick up the third pole. He had stepped out to feel for the super anointing. He had let go the second to get the third. He had been persecuted. He had been rejected. But he was no wandering star. He was setting his course. He was about the Father's business. His meat was to do the will of him that sent him and to finish his work. He was obsessed. Amen. To finish that work. And when he lays life down, even Paul, writing about his agony in Gethsemane, he strived, resisting against sin, even unto blood. But Abraham says, what caused water and blood to come out from his body separate? So the scientists have proven he died of grief. It really wasn't the spears that pierced him caused it. It really wasn't the whiplashes. It was grief. To see his own children wanted his blood. Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. And yet, he could have called for legions of angels. He could have destroyed them. He could have opened up the earth and swallowed them up. But he loved them so much. They wanted his life. He gave it to them. Hallelujah. What a meal offering. Amen. Complete sacrifice. He said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what to do. Such love. Greater love. Had no man than this. Than a man who laid down his life. You will not have no greater love. But you'll have the same love. Hallelujah. Amen. You will have to have the same love.
Amen.
So if you can't lay aside some little idea. If you can't drop your oaths, if you can't drop your grudges, if you can't drop your little petty jealousies, if you can't drop your little spirits of revenge and hoping to get back at one another. Amen. then how could you expect to have a ministry of the masterpiece of the third Paul? Because it was on the cross, when you were smitten, when you died, when you were completely dead, you went into that ministry. You will not go into it alive. You have to be completely dead. Hallelujah! It'll be preeminences. The word image, that theophany, preaching to the lost, it'll be the word form in you. Those seven voices of the blood that speak better things in your midst will now proceed with fire in judgment to the lost. And Jesus, when we took it last night, was coming to that stage of his ministry. And right there, in Gethsemane, Paul writing, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. And in this hour of birth pains, all kinds of spirits, when the press is coming down, until you're all pressed out, where you have to be crushed and broken to bring that ministry, what are you going to do? Retaliate? Get caught up in circumstances? Get all confused? Get self-pity? Feel sorry for yourself? Want somebody to pat you on your back? Or you'd be there saying, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, let thy will be done. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before, he had a way. He had an absolute. The Holy Spirit. It was tied to the North Star. His compass was pointing to the North Star. The Holy Spirit was pointing to the Word. And he was sailing through treacherous waters and destabilizers was on the ship. Hallelujah. And when all the oppositions and all the storms tried to trouble his soul, he was able to cross them choppy waters. Hallelujah! Even Pilate marveled. He said, say back something. Answer back. He said, these are false witnesses. They conspire against you. But the Bible says, he was dumb before his sharers. He opened up his mouth many a times for you to let the to answer back. You may think you're stupid. People may think you're stupid, but there's not a competition where you're trying to outdo everybody. This is walking in the Father's will. And what looks like defeat many times is really victory. In that situation, the victory was not to expose the false witnesses. The victory was to be able to take the persecution without retaliation. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. That is why it's a mystery. It takes the life of Christ in you, not the human spirit. Don't get that mixed up with the word for the hour. Your human spirit have to be subject to the word. The word have to blow the flues out of the reasoning and the conscience and the memory and the affections. You have to blow it out. Filter your thinking. And bring the human spirit subject to the word. Hold the flesh in subjection. If the same spirit raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. When your flesh want to get angry, When your human spirit feel embarrassed, feel shame, and you want to retaliate, you want to fight back, that soul, which is the word, the Holy Spirit, subject. Because that soul is the husband, the spirit is the wife, and the flesh is the children. The prophet says, your new husband, Christ, the word, that soul in you, the spirit is reasoning, conscience, memory, affection, imagination. That is that contentious wife. She always wants to reason against what her husband is saying. But what is the mystery? This is the hour for the Ephesians. This is the hour when the original order is being restored back. The head and the body must come one. The body must be subject to the head. And God is working to achieve that. Amen. And if God wants to accomplish that in your life, your human spirit, your reasoning, your imagination, your affections, all these things have become subject to the word, that soul inside of you. If that flesh is producing all kind of funny manifestations, arrogant talking, backbiting, it shows by the children, by the manifestation, it shows that that house is in disorder. Amen. Because this body, this house, is only a type of your home. In your natural house, there's a father, there's a mother, and there's the children. And the children may be subject to the parents. And by the type of children, because the children is only a product of the union between the father and the mother. So by the type of the children, you know what type of parents. And by the wife, she reflects the husband. She reflects the husband. As the church ought to reflect Christ. And the prayers will be hindered if the husband and wife is not in harmony. Does it say it in the Bible? 1 Peter chapter 3. If the husband and wife is not in harmony, then the prayers will be hindered. But the Bible says, wives, be in subjection to your husband. And that spirit is the wife, is subject to the soul, the word, Christ, inside of you. And when that word, faith, because the soul only have one sense, it's unbelief or faith. And with faith, when faith says shut up, then reasoning, memory, imagination have become subject to the word.
Amen.
And when God has achieved that in your life, then the word have preeminences. Because that soul is part of the word, and it cannot do nothing contrary to this word. But the human spirit that gets in the way, amen, and reasons against that word. So it depends which realm you are living in. If you're living in the realm of faith, or you're living in the humanistic realm, a reason, emotions, if you're controlled and influenced by your emotions, by your reasonings, or you're led by faith. And if you're led by faith, every move will be the scripture. Because your faith could believe things that reason know nothing about, things that reason could never explain, things that the eyes can't even see. Amen. That's where God wants to bring you, that soul to be be nourished on the vitamins of the word, and you can grow up into the word image, come to spiritual maturity, live in a world of perfect faith, become the word made flesh. Amen. And when God achieves that in your life, then God wants that in the home also. That the wife have her place in the home, and the husband have his place in the home, and the children have their place in the home. Amen. And the husband have a masculine spirit to reveal the mystery of Christ, and the wife have the feminine spirit revealing the mystery of the church, and they are in a union, in a covenant of matrimony, where they are governed by matrimony laws, and they have the offspring, amen, which is a fruit of the union between the husband and the wife. And they in the Eden, from wall to wall, from boundary to boundary of the home, yeah, the husband have jurisdiction. You see a man, he plants a nice lawn, put nice flowers, get a couple of dogs, have them there. What is it? That nature is calling you like Adam in the Garden of Eden. And you hear him speak to his dog. Say, go over there, Rover. Come over here, Rover. Amen. He has dominion. Then he has a master bedroom. That's the headquarters in the home, where the husband and the wife is in the secret room, and is whispering secrets in the air. While you have a close next to her, he's unveiled to her. They are in a union. Amen. What it is, is a little type of Eden. And here in our natural life, we have our children. They are in the image of the Father. They have the Father's name. They were in the loins of the Father. They are an expression of himself, and he looks at them and he sees the mystery of his own self being developed, and he relates to his son and he trains him, and he has fellowship with him because he wants that son to grow up to be like him, because he's in his image and his likeness. Amen. What it is, it's a mystery in our natural life, then in the church. God also wants the same thing. What he achieved in your own life, in your home, then in the church. The pastor is the spiritual husband, and the church is the wife. The wife don't slap the pastor around. That'll be a tyrant spirit. Dominant female. No, sir. The church must have a meek and quiet spirit. Like Sarah had. Like the daughters of the holy woman. What an ornament. Is of great price. And that pastor, he's a spiritual husband. Amen. To that church. And when they have little problems, the wife don't want a divorce, I'll put away my husband. No. Like in the natural home, they talk things over. They come to the word. They come subject to the marriage counselor, the supreme judge. Hallelujah. It's a mystery. And because we don't have the mystery, we see all kind of wild business. All kind of strain. Traits. That show is hybrid. It's another life. It don't blend into the mystery of Christ and his bride. Amen. And every home must have order. You have your kitchen for cooking. You have your living room for fellowship, entertaining your guests. You have your bedroom, which is private. You have your bathroom for special purposes, because everything is in decency and in order, and you have it in the natural homes, and you know not to misplace those things. You even have your own washroom where you iron out your wrinkles. Amen. Where you wash out all your stains. Amen. Well, the same way, what is in the natural is in the spiritual. And we don't just look at the temporal things. We don't just look to the temporal things. The things that are seen are temporal. But the things that are not seen are eternal. And when we walk by faith and not by sight, we'll be able to apply the mystery correctly. And what a beautiful picture that is. And that this hour, when our homes, when our lives, when the church, even the entire bride and the Lord Jesus must be in such a union, in such a harmony, in such an order, in such decency, that the works of God, what His will in heaven, could be made manifest in earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Then what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Then what you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Because heaven will be reflected on the earth. Look at the book of Leviticus. After those call out by a prophet with a pillar of fire and a message of deliverance, that prophet had two signs, like Moses. And he came in the evening time when he gave them the token, and he brought them out in the Exodus. Then the call out people had to be set in order. Amen. And God had to take Moses up in the mountain and reveal to him the heavenly order, so it could be established on the earth, that the people could know to approach God, so that God works could be made manifest on the earth. Is that correct? It was in the first Exodus. It was in the second Exodus. Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle that was guarding the book of Acts. Back in the Old Testament, when there was call out by a prophet, there was second order, Ephraim in the west, Judah in the east, Dan in the north, Reuben in the south, there was God in the mercy seat. Then in this day, we have come into seven church ages, Paul, Uranus, and Martin, the lion, Columba the ox, Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, the man, and Malachi 4, the eagle, and another book of Acts. Amen. The four anointings, God in the world, because God order that is in heaven is being represented on the earth again. Amen. So as we gather here, we must understand that the call out people is being set in order for dynamics. But when everything was set in order, that pillar of fire come down and hang in that camp. Hallelujah! Them 12 tribes, by faith, all Israel knew that behind that badger skin lay the mercy seat. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. They were going, they were guarded with their lives. Amen. What a hour it was. The tabernacle was set up. They had the laver where they washed the sacrifice. The waterway. The Red Sea. Then they had a second court where they had the seven candlesticks. Table with the shewbread. All these different things. Where the congregation was sprinkled with blood. Where they come to the wilderness. Then they had the veil. It was had to be torn. It was rented. On the day when Jesus died, the Jordan, self-will, death to self, to enter into the Ephesians, the most holy place, the pillar of fire, in the third pole, inside of the air, where the word was in the ark, where the blood was in the mercy seat, where the cherubims had the wings tip. Hallelujah! And what God was showing in a type, what Moses saw, Paul came in the New Testament and revealed that these things was represented in Jesus Christ. And then down through seven church ages, when the tabernacle, the real tabernacle, his body, the bride, in the third Exodus, was to be set up. Luther had the water, justification. Wesley come with the blood. And in this age, the token, the pillar of fire, the life behind human skins, the real mercy seat upon the face of the earth. And those four anointings is here, anointing the ministers as they stand here reflecting light from the throne. Amen. Reflecting those seven spirits, those seven mysteries of the Lamb with seven horns and seven eyes into the church. And the entrance of thy word brings light. Thy word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. Not electric light. Not electric light, not cosmic light, eternal light. There shall be light in the evening time. Light for you to walk into the promises of God. And that minister, if he's bringing forth those seven mysteries, it shows his light is coming from the throne. Because those seven candlesticks, which was a type of those seven spirits, was reflecting that light into the congregation as they would sit there under the blood when the tabernacle was set up. Hallelujah! So when we come to a service, it's not just our preaching. Oh, the very same thing is set up here. All these earthly angels, the redeemed, who have come out under a message of deliverance by a prophet with a pillar of fire in the Exodus, is being set in order to correctly worship God. After the prophet went up on the mountain into the pillar of fire and brought back the word to set the bride in order. So you see what's happening? So when we come and we fail to walk in truth, and we behave ourselves anyhow, and we act anyhow, it shows we have an intellectual conception of Jesus Christ. But when we see the lateness of the hour, as the Holy Spirit trying to point it out from the scriptures and showing it's passing by, we must become associates with the unseen world and the supernatural. Because here in the scripture, as we have read this morning, we saw the hour had come. The servant Gehazi, he here walked with the prophet. He was called by the prophet. He was ordained by the prophet. He had believed the prophet. He associated with the prophet. He could tell many stories. He was present when many of the things happened. He saw the discernment, how the prophet revealed the thoughts, the secrets that went on in the king's chamber. He saw that prophet with the mystery of the meal offering, how when there was death in the pot, all the prophets with their false conceptions bring all the wild gods, put all the local weed inside the pot to cause fanaticism, to bring death, spiritual death. But quickly, when they cried out, They're dead in the pot. They begin to panic. They didn't know what to do. Here was that prophet. Said, give me the meal offering. A handful of meal. And he threw it in the pot. And he healed the pot. And Gehazi saw that. He could go and tell about it. He saw that prophet. When the waters, the people, the ground was barren. And the water was bitter. Unfruitful. Barren ground. And the water was bitter. Root of bitterness. What was going to happen? That prophet said, give me a new cruise. And give me some salt. With savor. If the salt have lost its savor, it's good for nothing. But give me some salt. They're salty. I threw it in the water. And he healed the waters. What a healing. Was a healing revival. Not so much of the body now. But of the soul. He healed the pot. He healed the water. Then Naaman. The big general from Syria. Full authority. He was a general in the army. Had a great reputation. Amen. He thought the prophet would come and lay his hand upon him. Amen. He wanted some special little privilege. But the prophet didn't even look at him. The prophet told his servant, go and tell him, go to Jordan and dip 7 times. And he was full of scorn. He said, are there not better rivers in Damascus and Paphia? Do I have to go down there? Everybody going to see me. I'll be humiliated. A big general like me. They will see my leprosy. They will see my leprosy. I had it covered up all these years. It's only wear long sleeves. And gloves. Amen. Trying to hide my leprosy. But a little girl who was in his house said, have you heard? There's a prophet in the land. Amen. Would to God that my Lord would be the prophet in Samaria. And Naaman went down there. And when he went down there, the prophet said, go and dip into Jordan 7 times. He had to do it. He tried to avoid it. But he had some good men with him. They say, if the prophet had asked you to do a hard thing, you would have do it. And it's an easy thing like this. But God didn't just want to heal the body. God wanted to heal body and soul. Amen. Then Gehazi saw even the Shunammite woman. He even held his staff. He was trusted by the prophet. The prophet said, take my staff and go and lay it on the boy. Amen. I can imagine if Gehazi was around today. We have many of them, you know.
Amen.
They can tell all the stories. Oh, the whole audience is spellbound. They could spend a whole day telling stories. They could thrill people who would love to hear events that they can't read about in the books and the tapes. But Gehazi had a money demon. Amen. When that prophet was offered all these things, Naaman bought talents of silver, changes of raiment, the finest that the generals just wear, that come from foreign lands, where he made his conquests. And Gehazi, realizing he's about the same size with the prophet. And the prophet refused him. He thought he looked nice in it. And after all, The man come all this distance in an hour when he should be wearing sheepskin. What went you out to see? A man in fine raiment? A rich sheikh by the wind? Somebody in king palaces? Yes, I wasn't catching the revelation. Amen. So he saw all these things. And yet in his heart, he thought he could outsmart the prophet. He saw that discernment. He saw that word in that prophet mount. He saw that authority in that prophet ministry. He saw the association with the supernatural. He saw God honor that prophet prayer. But he was too close. It was better for him that he wasn't that close. Because he'd been blinded. Maybe by the humanistic things. Because the mystery was God and man. Amen. And he went out there and he stopped Naaman. And he says, the prophet told me, he changed his mind. Have a few functions coming up. And he was thinking about doing some shopping. He didn't have time to go into town. And he realized that he could use it after all. And he'd have some other needy brothers that need a couple also. So you could give out 12 changes. And all the trains was booked up. We might have to take a special chariot. So we need some talents of silver. And we plan to erect a house of worship. Where we're going to get the people gathered. So he says, give me about 3 talents of silver. After he went and stashed it away, he came back around with his hands in his pocket. And the prophet looked at him. He said, went not mine heart with thee? When the man turned from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money? And to receive garments? And all of the yards and vineyards? And sheep and oxen? And men servants and maid servants? And right there, you can see that prophet's eyes going to turn like a flame of fire. And the word was like a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. And his feet begin to glisten in the noonday sun like brass. He said, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to thee. Amen. Look at Gehazi. That man could have told so many great things. Many people would have liked to be in his presence. Would have liked to invite him to the home. Would have liked to take a photograph with him. Would like to say, I was with that man who walked with the prophet. He tell me some special things that the prophet told him. And it makes me feel just good. We must never judge people that way. Because the walk of the prophet means nothing. Because they can tell experiences mean nothing. That is history. It's what they are present tense. God don't judge no man on what he was 20 years ago. It's what you are now. How many people might be impersonating Gehazi? Because they thought, well, maybe he was the closest one to the prophets. Though Elisha was with the other schools of the prophets. And he was with King Hazael and many other people. He was with the widow. He was in the Shunammite home. How many people did the prophet associate with? But like Gehazi, I was the closest. But what's something? He didn't realize what realm the prophet was in. He was just in contact with the physical part of the prophet. He wasn't influenced with the influence that the prophet was influenced by. Amen.
Amen.
He only had a knowledge and was able to tell the experiences. But that wasn't sufficient in that hour to face the challenge. And here it was, the prophet and the message, the unveiling of God.
Page 9.
He says, now the Greek word for form means en morphe.
And this great Greek reform en morphe.
That means he changed himself. He come down. Now the Greek word here means that something that could not be seen, yet it's there, and then it's changed, and the eye could catch it. It's there, but you can't see to the eye. The angel of the Lord is here, but you can't see with the eye. But then it could be changed. The eye could catch it. And realize right there. Like Elijah was, he said. At Dothan. The servant couldn't see all those angels around there. And God just changed. Not brought the angels down, but it changed the sin of the servant. Hallelujah! He was changing the sin of the servant. He was going to do something to bring the servant in contact with what the prophet was in contact with. He was going to give him a vision to break him in the realm of the supernatural, so he can walk how the prophet walked. He can have control and master the circumstance the way the prophet mastered. God just changed. Not brought the angels down, but he changed the scene of the servant. And there were mountains full of fire, and angels, and horses of fire, and chariots of fire, all around this prophet. See, he changed the scene. The thing is already there. And the prophet says, so what I'm trying to say, that God, that always was, is here. The Lord have descended from heaven with a shout. 22 years ago, he dropped down, pulled his seals back, revealed himself in the world, identified that the rapture was already taking place. King Theophany Jesus is here amongst us now in a theophany. Who is this Melchizedek? Page 13. He was the Word. A theophany is something that you could not see. It could be right here now, yet you cannot see it. It's just like television. That's in another dimension. People are moving right through this room right now, singing. There's colors also. But the eye, the five senses, we walk not by sight. We look not to things that are seen. The servant was looking to things that are seen. But the prophet was looking to the unseen. The servant could only see the Syrians, but the prophet was in a world of perfect faith. He recognized his position. He knew he was the Word manifested for the hour. Amen. He knew that he was a channel through which God was fulfilling his work for that time. And he stood there. He was conscious of the unseen realm. He was calm and settled. The servant only saw the angels, the chariots and the soldiers, of the Syrians when he woke up the morning. But the Bible showed the prophet used to see what was going on even while they're making the plans. So the prophet had already seen them. Sometimes the king gave new orders and sent out spies to arrest the bride. Elisha is the bride. In the days after Elijah, it's a type of the hour. And here's the bride, just like Elijah, was caught up by those same horses and chariots of fire. Now Elisha knew that those horses and chariots was all around him, because he had a question. When Elijah threw back the mantle, he was left with the message of the hour. Elijah went, but he left the message, and Elisha had the message. The bride was left with the message, but she asked the question, where is the God of Elijah? And from way back there, she knew, lo, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let not your heart be dismayed. The never-failing presence of Jesus Christ is with you, who whithersoever thou goest. Amen. So he knew that the presence was there. So when the servant was trying to wake up the prophet, he saw the prophet was too calm. He looked too relaxed. And maybe he talked that relaxed attitude was a state of unconsciousness, that the prophet didn't know about the enemy presence. And he thought he was getting a revelation ahead of the prophet now. So he's going to inform the prophet of what's happening. He's going to reveal to the prophet the strategy of the enemy. You find in a congregation many times. Have some person there think that God make them the eyes. They try to educate the minister what to do, how to do it, not knowing if the eye is single, the body will be full of light. God already had shown the prophet ahead, because he demanded the tower. He's the man in the tower. He's the watchman that stands there, that see way off in the distance to warn the city. Amen. So what was happening? He tried to wake up the prophet in an atmosphere. He tried to get him excited. Tried to get him all emotional. What's the matter with you? You're so relaxed. The enemy's all wrong. Shake yourself. Pinch your conscience. Amen. Get desperate. Amen. And the prophet tried to tell the boy, they are more with us. Listen, sonny. They are more with us. Hallelujah. He knew that angel who was with Elijah, who gave him meal cake and water to go in the strength of 40 days. That same angel is here for the past 20 years. He is the seventh seal. He is the Holy Ghost. He is the unseen captain. Amen. The boy failed to realize it was that angel who raised the boy. It was that angel who said, give me a new cruise. It was that angel who refused to bring a handful of meal. It was that angel who tell Naaman dip 7 times, not 6. Hallelujah! Glory! For a little space of time, the boy might be thinking it was a good education that the prophet had, but not realizing it was the same angel bringing back things to remembrance, teaching him all things, showing him things to come, rightly dividing the word, fitting it together, recycling it back. But a prophet with a super sense. He was a super sign. He had broken that realm. He was conscious of how God anointed Paul with a lion anointing, with true teaching to combat the false teaching. He knows when the enemy can make a flood, God raise a standard. When they kill, God raise Irenaeus, militant, to blast the Galatianism. Amen. To fight, to bring back what Paul preached, keep the messiahship straight. Amen. He realized it was God that one of them cherubim who anointed Columba and the saints to pour the blood in the dark ages under Roman persecution. Who anointed Luther, Wesley, and the Pentecostals with the wisdom of man. Amen. To go forth and challenge all them scholars in that intellectual time. Hallelujah. It was that same anointing. The Holy Ghost. This time, come in the form of the eagle to anoint Elijah to rightly divide the sacrifice in the evening time. Turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Call on fire. Out on a chariot. Hallelujah. Cut them false prophets' heads off by the book Kidron. Amen. He knew God always faces a challenge. When the enemy moves, God moves to counteract it. Revelation drops down upon a servant of God, upon the bride. Anoint them with discernment, with understanding, to take the scripture and go forth and bind that serpent.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
A revelation is breaking forth to bring them into the realm of the unseen. Look at we had to close this thing halfway and pick up the next part this evening, because we already about run out of our time. So just may bring it to a place where we can put a pause. Amen. And be able to come back later. So who is Melchizedek? Page 13. A theophany. It's something you could not see. It could be here right now. Yet you cannot see it. My. Before I finish that quote, I want to drop you the next one. Before I finish that one. Amen.
Amen.
Just to get the bypass it. Brother Bram says, theophany is right here. Question and answers.
1954.
The 3rd of January. He said, your glorified body is right here at the tabernacle now. The presence of the Holy Spirit, which is your glorified condition. You are glorified in Christ right now. Those who He justified, He glorified. And your own glorified body is standing near you right now in Christ Jesus to give you strength like a charge going into a battery. The Holy Spirit is in you. It's a charge to charge your body, to give you new strength, to heal you from the sickness that you got, to make you well. In St. Matthew, Jesus was speaking about how the children angels behold the Father's face day and night. In the book of Acts, when the little girl, Rhoda, She saw Peter. He had been delivered by the angel of the prison. And she ran inside, all excited. Said, Peter is here. He's outside. I just saw him knocking at the door. They say, no, it must be his angel. His theophany. You think of it. That early church was in such an atmosphere of perfect love. Because if Revelation chapter 2, the Ephesian age, when the church began to fall, after the death of the early apostles, when the church was infiltrated by demon powers, what did he say? You have left your first love. That love was agapo love, perfect love, and they had visions. Wasn't just prophets alone seeing visions. Cornelius saw a vision. The woman at the tomb saw visions. Is that correct? Amen. That Alpha bride and that Omega bride is the same bride. It's going to come back. Because Brother Brown preached Paul's message. I preach exactly what Paul preached. To restore back what Paul had. Elijah will restore. Bring back the original thing. Back in the original condition. And they said, such as I have given unto you. Silver and gold have I now. Such as I have. But in Laodicea, the rich and increased goods, they have a lot of silver and gold, but they don't have no power. Back there, they had no silver and gold, but they were full of power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! What do you want is power. Amen. The power is here, but it takes faith to move it, and the Holy Spirit is rubbing the make-believe out to bring us out from walking after things that we see and bring us in the realm to make us associate with the unseen world and the supernatural, to put us into a dimension where we can know our theophanies are here, the angels are here, the Holy Ghost is here. All things, they are more for us than they are with the enemy. Hallelujah! More with us than with them. The two eternity stars on our side, they only have one turn. Hallelujah! Glory be to God.
Glory.
So let me finish this quote and close this morning. A theophany is something you could not see. It could be right here now. Yet you cannot see it. It's just like we're like television. That's in another dimension. But the eye is only subject to the five senses. Your whole being, this body, is only subject to five senses. Right now, you can look at that wall, but you don't know what is behind you. See, because your sight is limited to that wall. Now, if you, somebody gives you some cold water to drink, and you taste that cold water, there's nobody in the world could make you believe it's hot water. Because you believe what your senses declare. If you drink hot tea, it burns your tongue. Nobody could tell you it's not hot. Because your sense of taste declares it to be so. If you walk outside and somebody told you, I had on a red shirt, you won't believe it. Because your eyesight declared to be white. Amen. If you couldn't see me, you could hear me. You know my voice. You could identify me being here. You could come and touch me. Feel my features. And declare me to be here. Amen. And you declare what you believe, what the senses declare. And you got your senses by your birth. You are born in this world, in this physical body. And this physical body came with five senses. And those senses was to contact this physical world. But when you got a new birth, that soul had a sense that was activated, that came into operation. It was like the man in St. John 9, he was born blind. He came into the world with four senses. Four was operating, but one was not operating. So he never saw a rainbow. He never saw the sunshine. He could only imagine what it would be like. He would feel the rays of its warmth. He would smell the rose. Enjoy the fragrance. But he never see one. He could touch it and feel how tender it is. He could hear about a rainbow, but he can't see seven colors. Then one day, the word for the hour came walking, met him by the wayside in a world of darkness. It was the hour he had to break into the sin age to see the mystery for that age. And the world had to make eyeballs and put it in the air to bring him out of the darkness into the light, to bring him into the sin age. Then he could contact by that sense. Well, the same way, when you are born again, that sense of faith that you couldn't contact by, your reason God. You try to learn the message. You had an intellectual conception. But one day, the Holy Ghost dropped down to that soul and scorched his way inside of the air. Blow all the flues out. And God become personalized. When you read the message, it's not somewhere out there. It's something in your own life. Your word being personalized. You can have faith inside it. You can have faith in that word. Because you see it happening in your own life. Amen.
Amen.
And that sense brings into contact. He said you're only subject to what the sight has been limited to see. To what the sight has been limited to see. But there's another dimension that can be seen by transformation, by television. Now what was he saying? He was trying to explain to us Revelation 10, 1 Thessalonians 4, the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. The Lord has descended from heaven. He is here on the earth. What is he doing? Gathering his redeemed subjects. Behold, I come as a thief. The one shall be taken, the other shall remain. But he's in the form of a theophany. And you don't see through the eye. Then how do you look for him? In the fulfillment of his word.
Amen.
The word for the hour being manifested, and God being identified by the characteristics of the prophesied promise. So you could see prophecy becoming history in your life to let you know you are part of the bride. The word is being interpreted in you and make you the interpretation of the message for the hour. That brings up perfect faith. That shows you your position. Hallelujah. It blows out the theology of the message and make you walk out here with substance faith to anoint the promise, to know that you are Messiah. God raised you up. God is inside of you to fulfill his word for this hour. You are fearless in your testimony. Hallelujah! You can challenge devils. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000. Hallelujah! You can burst them chains that try to bind you. Hallelujah! Because you know the word has become flesh, and the flesh has become word.
Amen.
So he is explaining about the dimensions and the physical body we live in. How it is a veil that veils us from the supernatural. But how the Holy Spirit comes to drop over into that soul and lift you up in another level where you can be in contact with the presence of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural, all these things to give you complete control over every circumstance, all things under your feet. Even them kings, you have your feet on their necks. Amen. Hallelujah. You ain't walking around, the devil push you around. You're all sad and gloomy. You go through some little trial. You want self-pity. You go through something. You vex with everybody. No, sir. You know, what a perfect faith. Hallelujah, the perfect God. Who made a perfect promise in his perfect word.
Amen.
You see, now television doesn't manufacture a picture. A television only channels it into a circuit. You can take a radio. You can pick up the voices. You can repeat a lot of things, but you can't show the picture.
You
don't have the crystal inside of it. You don't have the tube that the television has. You can bring a fridge. It may get the whole place cold. You may refrigerate everything, but you can't show no picture. Though it's an electrical apparatus. Amen. Amen. But the television, is designed to pick up the unseen and manifest it visible. And God make up the real believer different to the make-believer and the unbeliever. You have a law of faith. You have a crystal. It's a gene of God. Hallelujah! Inside him! To make him a candidate with the unseen world and with the supernatural. Hallelujah! And that's where God wants to get at. Because the first Paul, he dealt with the flesh. Second Paul, he went to the human spirit. But the third Paul, he dealt with them souls. Transforming them in the image of the word. And then the rotten ones, the rotten seeds, the souls in prison now. But the third Paul went to the soul to catch the redeemed and bring judgment to the others. Amen. And here is what is happening. That is why it's in a realm where people want things to excite the flesh. They want to see this. They want to see that. But that was back in the first and second Paul. They see long prayer lines. They see all kinds of things happening. I excite the human spirit. But now it's in a dimension. In the word. It's a transformation. Not by television, but by revelation. Hallelujah! Glory! Amen. It's a great thing happening. The television doesn't manufacture the picture. And no real believer would manufacture anything. A television only channels it into a circuit. You get the television in the right channel, then all the images, all the colors have preeminences. It just manifests itself through the channel of the television. Amen. And God is trying to get you into channel 7. Hallelujah. 7 seals, 7 spirits, 7 mysteries, 7 voices, 7 virtues, 7 ages. He's trying to channel you into 7. where all seven mysteries become the mystery. Christ is the mystery. Where all seven spirits become one spirit. The Holy Ghost, the token, Jesus in the person, the life of the gifts. Amen.
Amen.
But the picture is yet to begin with. Television was here when Adam was here.
Television
was here when Elijah was on Mount Carmel. Television was here when Jesus walked the shore of Galilee. But you are just now discovering it. They wouldn't have believed it back there. You'd have been crazy to have said something like it. But now it's become a reality. And so it is. That Christ, the Holy Ghost, King Theophany, is here. The angels of God are here. And someday, in the great millennium to come, it will be just more real than television or anything else. Because they are here. We're going to pick it up later. Because we want to see those things are here. Those dimensions are here. We live in three dimensions. Then there's a fourth dimension. That radio and television. Science has covered it. Then the fifth dimension. Souls die in prison now. They go in there. After they die. If they reject the blood. And then we have the sixth dimension. The Redeemer gathered here. Where the prophet is. Sister Mida. Sister Hope. Brother Bosworth. All them saints. They're waiting right there. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus comes to them first. To judge them for what they preach. Then they come back here. And they'll appear to us. When? At the last trumpet. What time are we in? Six trumpets have already sounded and gathered the Jews back in the homeland and the generation that see Israel will not pass away till all things that be fulfilled. 1986, we complete the generation since they are back there. And from 46 to 65, the prophet had come to the seventh peak. From the third peak, his first Paul, he went out after Israel was in the homeland. 1965, he was two-thirds of the seventh peak. And from 65 to 85, we have come to the summit of the seventh peak. We see Jesus passing this way, going to the last part of the third Paul. And here in this hour, we see that what brought that power, what brought that control, what brought that dominion, it wasn't the prophet's human ability. It was his association with the unseen world and the supernatural. Hallelujah!
Amen.
And if we have to take that ministry up, then we too have to be candidates, associates with the unseen world and the supernatural. Amen. Brother Bram says, it's so good to see ourselves positionally placed in Christ, to be in heavenly places, subject to every promise in this very hour. And here we see his will in heaven must be established on earth until heaven and earth becomes one. Then we will see heaven being manifested, and heaven consists of the word. Hallelujah. Praise is wonderful. And this is what we're trying to preach. You can grasp that key to unlock that door.
That
you can walk in that world of perfect faith like a spiritual astronaut. You can break the sin barrier, the law of gravity that pulls you and keeps the earth bound. You can mount up with the wings of an eagle. You can run and not be weary. You can walk and not faint. You can live in a world of perfect faith. Where you become a mystic. To all them in the aeroplanes. Who only flying around. All them in the motor cars. Who only stalling and shutting down all over the place. Sticking in the mud. Amen. All them in the horse and buggy. We can break into the astronaut realm. In a world of perfect faith. If you say to this mountain. Not if he says. If you say. Hallelujah. And don't doubt in your heart. But believe the things that you say. If you're not embarrassed. When he put his thoughts in your mind. To speak them. Hallelujah! If you're not embarrassed to take the place of God and speak in the first person. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. If you're not embarrassed to say, they who are with us are more than they who are with them. Blessed be his name.
Amen.
Stand here with supreme control over every situation. We have so much more to say than that.
Amen.
But we're going to come back this afternoon. Let's stand to our feet.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
Did you enjoy that?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to come back later. You pray for me. God strengthen my body. When I hear it's all right.
Amen.
Before the time I walk off there. And we get back in the humanistic realm a little bit. To eat and drink and talk. Then it's different. Then you feel all the strength come down. I look at myself in the mirror this morning. And I find some man looking real old. Worn and tired. But I come and look in the mirror of his word.
Amen.
I begin to see face to face. But I get a charge from a theophany. Like a charge going through a battery. To give us strength. I believe God wants to do something for us. Maybe stay in the channel. May we fellowship around the world. When we go to have our natural food. May we stay in the spirit. Atmosphere, bodily kindness. Fellowship around the world. Provoke one another to love and good works. And exhort one another. Much more is the approach. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father.
Amen.
I pray that your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just take these things and make it so plain in our hearts. May the inside teacher teach us further on these truths. Bring back to remembrance what we have read, what we have heard. Quicken it, Lord, and make lead us from scripture to scripture and open up and become so real. Lord, even take our experience in our own lives. Make it personalized. So, Lord, we can see our lives. Lord, we listen to your word. We can see ourselves in step with the Holy Spirit. That we'll be able to approach every situation. With the right consciousness, Lord. Have the right attitude. To have the right discernment, Lord. That we can see the Holy Ghost working through us, having full control at all times. Almighty God, I pray you'll give me the unction, Lord, to keep speaking these things. You'll make it so plain. It will assist your people. Bring them to a closer walk. Lead them to a faith they have never known. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The unction, the liberty to speak this morning, Lord. Let the word be engraved deep down in his souls and make great a living faith, Lord. May it bring him to the divine consciousness that he can live, Lord, in that realm of perfect faith. God, may you grant it. Help us, Father, for we are needy. And we look unto you, the author and the finish of our faith, as we commit ourselves into your hands, thanking you for the blessing. Grant us rest. Bring us back refreshed this evening. And we cut to you, Lord, that you can have your way amongst us and come to your work that you have started. We can see bringing us, Lord, to a full manifestation of the promise, of the baptism, of the dynamics of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the people and for the sacrifices. Bless them in a special way, Lord. I pray and ask these things
in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.